been wondering why, baby. You keep thinking so much wrong of me. Keep thinking so much wrong with me. Yeah, you know if I've been a bad man, darling, poor lightning didn't intend to be. But that's all right. Someday you'll understand. When two people can't get along. You know I used to give that woman all my money, just like she was a queen. That's why that I'm wondering why would she treat poor me so mean. My mama, she told me now, I understand. It's just on account of that woman. Love with another man, but that's all right. Believe I'll overcome one day. Yes, and when I do, I don't believe I'll have them. Little girl, put up with your low down way.
Lightnin' Hopkins here on Tapestry of the Times. I mentioned that he recorded that song in his rental apartment in Texas, and actually the next artist we're going to hear was also recorded in an apartment, the Broadside Apartment on West 104th Street in New York City. Now that building was the headquarters in the early 1960s of a new magazine called Broadside, a music publication dedicated to circulating new topical songs. And one of the most prolific contributors to Broadside was the activist and singer-songwriter Phil Oakes. Story has it he'd show up at the apartment with his guitar and pockets full of scribbled lyrics, and they'd turn on an old tape recorder, and he'd play whatever he came up with that week. And these recordings were originally intended only to be the source material for the magazine to transcribe and then print. So, as you're about to hear, they're not studio-quality audio. In fact, in this next tune, if you listen carefully, you can actually hear someone's pet parakeet in the background. This is Phil Oakes singing one of his many Broadside songs. It's called If I Knew.
And here's, If I Knew. If I knew why the sun did shine, and if I knew the taste of ancient wine, if I knew all these wonders, there's one thing more I'd know. I'd know the way we all should go. And if I knew the deepest ocean floor, and if I knew the waves upon the shore, if I knew all these wonders, there's one thing more I'd know. I'd know the way we all should go. And if I knew the seasons and the wisdom of the years, I'd know the reason why we're here. And if I knew the power of the Lord, and where the gifts of heaven may be stored, yes, if I knew all these wonders, there's one thing more I'd know. I'd know the way we all should go. And if I knew the seasons and the wisdom of the years, I'd know the reason why we're here. And if I knew the power of the Lord, and where the gifts of heaven may be stored, yes, if I knew all these wonders, there's one thing more I'd know. I'd know the way we all should go.
She is a technicolor trout, red and swollen, sweeping through the nets of stained glass windows. Surrounded by conspiracies, they gather in the churches to touch her. Mastered by her nonchalance, the seductive art of pushing away. Karen Black inhabits a hole in the air, where flesh instructs and echoes guide the mirrors of her mind underground, where the living is done, with microphones and a soul train, because in the white prisons of the sun, there are walls and wires between us, wars and remnants of war. Jesse Helms is afraid of Karen Black because she can save us. In the undulating orb of her body, her tangled black mane drenched with sap, all the acrobats of time are sheltered, slithering cool as jelly beneath the lamppost of her arms. The earth rotates on its wobbly axis, filled with gutters of limbs and embryos, Himalayas of ennui and disgust. And just when it seems that we have seen too much, tonight, deep in the heart of Manhattan, Karen Black is dancing us free, prancing like a pony, up to her neck in blood. Intervals between laborious searches for page numbers and breathless meditation, a man, audibly chewing ice, mutters in his bourbon, and two vigilant crickets are engaged in musical foreplay downstage, when suddenly the poem begins. The natty monotone delivered like a phone conversation to a mother-in-law about fertilizing her lawn. And before the nodding audience knows what hit them, the piece abruptly ends, and two nervous claps clop unevenly from a candle-lit corner. Then the bloated quiet and rustling pages begin anew. One night, Aladdin shoes and self-deprecating jokes to lower expectations. Another night, a soiled hair shirt and uncombed, freshly wakened beard bits keep the local blue-voiced groupie mavens at bay. The glamour of the cold page makes administrators woozy with freshly cut checks, and stunned undergraduates change their majors to business law, knowing now that Dad was right all along, and the rhythm is lost or abandoned. And the canned comments so scripted that they garner more interest than the text, which becomes illegible in the mouth of its master, a bowhead whale tumbling behind his massive girth, shoveling compliments in his maw like plankton, Pulitzer riding on his snout like a hood ornament, and all six-winged hope drowned in his throat. And no matter how mundane the personal experience, the circumstance of each creation is sacred, pouring his charm into our cups, which rattle on the bars inside ourselves, trapped as we are, fawning at the altar of fame, awkward and gawking like penguins baptized by a nearsighted priest.
Some loving, oh so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. So they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
Piping down the valley's wild, piping song of pleasant glee. On a cloud I saw a child, and he laughing said to me, pipe a song about a lamb. So I piped with merry cheer, piper, pipe that song again. So I piped, he wept to hear. Drop thy pipe, my happy pipe, sing thy songs of happy cheer. So I sung the same again, while he wept with joy to hear. Piper, sit thee down and write in a book that all may read. So he vanished from my sight, and I plucked a hollow reed, and I made a rural pen, and I stained the water clear, and I wrote my happy song. Every child may joy to hear.
That was Allen Ginsberg singing along with his lover, probably at the time, Peter Orlovsky, singing William Blake, Introduction, and The Shepherd from the Songs of Innocence. It's an old LP. Janet Zeis on flute, Sial Castor on guitar, and then on The Shepherd, same arrangement, but Bob Duro joins on organ. You're listening to Wordplay. My name is Sebastian. And before the Blake, you heard Nina Simone, Put a Little Sugar in My Bowl. And before that, you heard two cuts by Keith Flynn from Nervous Splendor, which I've heard rumors he's going to be redoing here in Asheville with the band. I think it's this album. That'd be cool. I want to be there. The first song of the two, The Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black, one of my favorites, and then listening as another famous man badly reads his poems. And then the song that started this whole thing out was actually from the other show, which I cut into at the end of Phil Oaks, and then before that, the old Lightning Hopkins. I was loving that. You're listening to Wordplay, as I said, WPVM 103.5 FM. The Progressive Voice in the Mountains. Jeff, speaking of Progressive Voices in the Mountains, is with a bunch of people right now at the Black Mountain College second campus, which is the Leaf Festival Camp Rockmont area land. And the historian, probably the most famous historian living of the Black Mountain College Museum, Mary Emma Harris, is leading it. And Jeff and our intern and fellow DJ Abby are out there with a whole bunch of people. Wish I was there. But I'm happy to be here. That's what I'm supposed to say. No, I'm happy to be here. So let's keep going. And I'll keep talking to you and keep playing you music, some old LPs, poetry recorded, read a few poems, and see how it goes.
The trio's going to keep playing a little bit, this so if you want to hang out and just listen, please do.
Carl Lindbergh Trio live, Ithaca, Athens, Georgia, about 4 years ago. Opening for Coleman Barks, who we'll listen to next.
Experiment with spoken word and various instruments. Wednesday, I was in Santa Rosa, California, with a tabla player and a sitar. It's getting so I can hardly stand up without a cello somewhere nearby, or at least a bass. It just makes what I say more significant, don't you think? This is one piece that I wrote. I think I ought to just walk around behind me. Yeah. I always thought I'd wanted to be a New Orleans street musician, you know, just go and play whatever comes to you. think maybe I have done that. This is a poem for Bill Matthews, my friend, and Sebastian's father. Bill died getting ready to go out to the opera. It's called Bill Matthews Coming Along. They say the best French wines have terroir, meaning the taste of the lay of the land that works through and gets held in the wine, the bouquet of a particular hillside, and of the care of those who work there. When I see Bill Matthews coming along, I see and taste the culture of the world, a lively city, a university campus during Christmas break, a few friendly, straggling scholars and artists. I taste the delight of language and desire and music. I see a saint of the great impulse that takes us out at night to the opera, to the ball game, to a movie, to poetry, a bar of music, a bar of friends. When I see Bill Matthews stopped at the end of a long hall, I see my soul waiting for me to catch up, patient, demanding, wanting truth no matter what. The goofiest joke, the work with words we're here to do, saying how it is with emptiness and changing love and the unchanging. Now I see his two tall sons behind him. Bill would not say it this way. He might even start softly humming Amazing Grace if I began my saying, but I go on anyway. God is little g, inside out, a transparency that drenches everything you helped us notice. A red blouse, those black kids crossing Amsterdam, braving the cabs, a nun, you sweet theologian, you grew new names for God. Gourmet, cleaning woman, jazz, spring snow. What fineness and finesse. I love Bill Matthews, and I did not have near enough time walking along with him, talking books and ideas, or sitting down to drink the slant and tender face of Provence.
listening to the Carl Lindbergh Trio. That's Carl Lindbergh on bass there. He's also in a bunch of other bands down in Athens. And great guy. His father was the editor of Georgia Review. Old friends with Coleman. Old friends with my dad. So there's a lot of connections there for me. Before the Coleman Barks reading and the live Carl Lindbergh Trio, I think that was probably the start of the set. So I'm going to finish it with a poem by Matthew Dickman, who was in town a couple years ago. His first book, All American Poem, Slow Dance. More than putting another man on the moon, more than a New Year's resolution of yogurt and yoga, we need the opportunity to dance with really exquisite strangers, a slow dance between the couch and dining room table at the end of the party, while the person who we love has gone to bring the car around because it's begun to rain and would break their heart if any part of us got wet. A slow dance to bring the evening home. Two people rocking back and forth like a buoy, nothing extravagant. A little music, an empty bottle of whiskey. It's a little like cheating. Your head resting on his shoulder, your breath moving up his neck, your hands along her spine, her hips unfolding like a cotton napkin, and you begin to think about how all the stars in the sky are dead. The my body is talking to your body, slow dance. The unchained melody, stairway to heaven, power chord, slow dance. All my life I've made mistakes, small and cruel. I made my plans. I never arrived. I ate my food, I drank my wine. The slow dance doesn't care. It's all kindness, like children before they turn three, like being held in the arms of my brother. The slow dance of siblings, two men in the middle of the room, when I dance with him, one of my great loves. He is absolutely human. And when he turns to dip me, or I step on his foot because we are both leading, I know that one of us will die first and the other will suffer. The slow dance of what's to come, and the slow dance of insomnia pouring across the floor like bathwater. When the woman I'm sleeping with stands naked in the bathroom brushing her teeth, the slow dance of rituals being spit into the sink. There is no one to save us because there is no need to be saved. I've hurt you, I've loved you, I've mowed the front yard. When the stranger wearing a sheer white dress covered in a million beads slinks toward me like an oversexed chandelier suddenly come to life, I take her hand in mine. I spin her out and bring her in. This is the almond grove in the dark slow dance. It is what we should be doing right now, scraping for joy, the haiku and the honey, the orange and the orangutan slow dance. You're listening to Wordplay. That was Matthew Dickman's poem, Slow Dance. And we are going to move into some, in a minute, Linton Kwesi Johnson, Eric Dolphy tune, maybe a live Van Jordan poem from his reading last year at the Forum at UNCA. Before we do that, though, I'd like to say a few things about what's going on. A great reading coming up on Sunday at 3 next week, October 5th. Holly Iglesias' first book, Souvenirs of a Shrunken World, is just out. It's a Corre Press First Book Award winner, and it's beautiful. It looks beautiful, and the poems are great. She's great, and be there. Right now, coming up on Friday, the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center is doing its kicking off its big year-long celebration of the women of Black Mountain College. Three different art shows, this lecture, and other events. You can check it all out on their website. Today, I mentioned, is the Lake Eden campus tour. And actually, it's a Saturday. Saturday, October 4th, 3 o'clock. What was it like to be a woman at BMC? A symposium chaired by Mary Emma Harris with alumni panelists. A reception will follow. It's Green Sage Coffee House and Cafe are doing the refreshments. Check it out. It's an amazing show that's going to start. The first show, opening reception is Friday, October 3rd. And God, there's so much stuff going on. Bookopolis just came and went. Thank you, Lori Corral. Incredible book work, book arts, and live music. A bunch of young poets read. Demonstrations on the press. It was a great time out there in West Asheville on Haywood Road. You should check that out as well, the AshevilleBookWorks.com. Okay, I've talked a lot. You're listening to Wordplay. It's 103.5 FM, WPVM. My favorite thing to say, the progressive voice of the mountains. Let's see what we got now. If I pushed the right thing, it's Linton Kwesi Johnson.
T.S. Eliot, I would write a poem so damn deep that it bittersweet, like a precious memory, will make you weep, will make you feel incomplete. Like when your lover leave, and though defeat you concede, still you beg and you plead, till you win a reprieve, and you're ready for rock steady, but the music done already. Still, in the meantime, with me rhythm, with me rhyme, with me rough bass line, with me one sense of time, own poet have a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got couple thousand, but Mandela feel thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. If I was a top notch poet, like Hammer Brathwaite, Martin Carter, Jane Cortez or a Mary Baraka, I would write a poem so rude and rootsy and subversive that it make the goon poet turn white with envy. Like a candomblé voodoo come in a chant, a old time calypso or a slave song that get banned. But from granny right down to grand picnic, each and everyone can recite that they want. Still, in the meantime, with me rhythm, with me rhyme, with me rough bass line, with me one sense of time, poet have a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got couple thousand, but Mandela fee him thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. If I was a top notch poet, like Chikaya, Yip Thamsi, Nicholas Cohen, Arlana Gunnison, I would write a poem so beautiful that it's simple, like a plain girl with good brains and nice ways, with a sexy disposition and plenty compassion, with a sweet smile and a subtle style. Still, me nah go bow and scrape and go on like a ape, peddling up puerile parchment of ethnicity, with ungla vague fleeting hint of authenticity, like a Blacklands Percival in reverse, or even worse, a babbling buffoon who lose him tough. No sir, not at all. Me got me rhythm, me got me rhyme, me got me rough bass line, me got me one sense of time. Scooby doo be doo, moon point of a step in line. Kabuta lazy might have got couple thousand, but Mandela fame thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
see such a great crowd today on a Sunday afternoon for what I know is going to be an amazing reading. My name is Rick Chess. I'm a member of the Literature and Language Department here at the UNCA. Before introducing Van, I want to say a few thank yous and announce some other upcoming events in and around Asheville at UNCA. First, I want to thank the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Deidre Wiggins, who runs that office, for their generous support contributing to all important food and beverages. So please be sure to help yourselves. For their support, and the PB Paris Visiting Writers Series Fund for their support. Next, I want to announce a couple of things. First, I want to announce the hot off the press publication of issue of Rivendell, issue number 4. The editor, Sebastian Matthews, is in the back of the room there. And Rivendell is a journal of certainly national interest, but especially this issue should be of local and regional interest as it focuses on Southern Appalachia and includes a wide range of writers, both from Asheville and the surrounding area. So congratulations, Sebastian, on the publication of issue number 4. Congratulating Sebastian's, we'll congratulate him on the publication of his first book of poetry, We Generous, which has just come out. So Sebastian has taught for us here at UNCA, and he's taught for the Great Smokies program, and many of you know him from Warren Wilson as well. So look for Sebastian's book and this wonderful journal. Let's see, we've got a number of readings coming up at UNCA this semester. The next one is this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock in this room. Steve Orland will be reading here. In fact, we have Warren Wilson College to thank because at least 3 of the visiting writers we're having this semester are all affiliated with Warren Wilson's MFA, Van being one, Steve Orland being another, and then at the end of the semester we'll be having Pablo Medina, who will be here teaching some classes and reading, and he also will be reading from his translation of Lorca's poem, Poet of New York, which he's in the midst of completing right now. So anyway, this coming Wednesday, Steve Orland. March 30th, Friday night, Mary Oliver will be reading here. That reading will sell out guaranteed.
You're listening to Wordplay. I'm your host, Sebastian. That's Eric Dolphy finishing off Out to Lunch, our first cut off Out to Lunch. You might have recognized in there a rare and brave voice solo of speech from Rick Chess, and you'll hear him again soon. Arrows at Temple Stream. This is Denise Levertov. The river in its abundance, many voiced, all about us as we stood on a warm rock to wash, slowly, smoothing in long, striding strokes, our soapy hands along each other's slippery, cool bodies, quiet and slow in the midst of the quick of the sounding river. Our hands were flames stealing upon quickened flesh until no part of us but was sleek and on fire. Denise Levertov was one of the great Black Mountain poets. Never went to Black Mountain, I don't think, but hung out with all those guys and was one of the first to publish with Creeley. This comes from O Taste and See. A great voice, Denise Levertov. I think I just messed up my CD, so I'm just going to try something different here. You heard Lynton Queasy Johnson, If I Was a Top-Notch Poet, before that long and beautiful Dolphy cut. I was trying to get some Van Jordan from the UNCA Laurel Forum, and that's why you heard Rick Chess's voice. I made a little mistake there, but it was kind of cool, kind of early David Byrne. Too bad I missed his show. I did hear a band called the Belleville Project from Spartanburg, and if you guys, this one of the guitar players is the son of the writer John Lane and John, the poet, and Betsy Teeter. They would do the Hubbub and the Hub City Writers Project down in Spartanburg, a great place, the showroom, and their son is the guitar player, and they're an incredible band. So they played at the Jack of the Wood last week or so, and you should check them out. This is going to be a poem read by a musician. No, it's a poem read by an actor, which is possibly problematic. And I'm going to do it random here. It's just from a disc called Jazz Poetry. So let's get a little jazzy here. Cut 7. And I'll try it right now.
Highest Wind That Ever Blew, Homage to Louis, by Fred Chappell. Music is the world over again, Schopenhauer. Ever, ever, in unanimous voice we drift, but not you, baby, not you, satchel, gaiter, dipper mouth. Punch them pepper lead notes, Louis. Ride it, fierce meat, yon and hither. Birthday morning, I put a record on, hot five, hot damn. What a way to never grow old. I couldn't count how many times you've saved my life. Turning my tiny arve in, I'd gasped a glimpse through the mindless crackle, one gleamious corner of a note you loosed. Once more, tell us about Black Benny and Mary, Jack the Bear, Red Beans, and Rising the Hours, all ours. Let's hear the good news about Fat Swallow. You got millions in you and you spend a nickel. That's what the message is. Okay, I hear you. Shall I ever understand? What's in that trumpet is the tree of life. The branches overfreight with cantaloupes, peacocks, mangoes, and naked, naked women. And all around the tree a filigree halo, like a silver lace mantilla. And limb to limb zip little silver birds like buckshot dimes, kissing and chucking each other under the chin. Cursed be he who worships not this tree. Cause you S-O-L, baby. I mean, you. Out of luck. It's summertime forever. Believe to your soul, and this is the River of Jordan. Everyone was born for a warmer climate and a jug of wine. You born for it, sweet mama. And me. And even the black box back preacher. He was born for it. Up on the mountains of wind, I heard in the valley below a lonesome church bell calling home, 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 and the last swell of the hymn dying at sunset. Everywhere in your trumpet I heard that. I'll follow it like fire in the air, I will, to the purple verge of the world. Rain aslant the wind. The cozy lovers wind their wounds together. The weepy eaves peep down into the rooms. Wind and water drive against the windows like a black blind moth in the dark. They sigh and settle and snuggle. A lemon-coloured sun warms their innermost memory of the trumpet bell, uplifted like a sun when they paid a buck to see the greatest man who ever lived. Man playing with fire, in air, pursuing his soul in a hovering sun. Had tune would melt the polar cap to whiskey. This dream-shot sun, the mellow lover's dream, it warms them amid each other. The rain goes cozy. And me too, man. I had me a woman living way back of town, would wait till my blue-gray smoke of 5 o'clock came down and fetch my bourbon and beechnut chewing gum along the Sindri railroad track, counting the chemical raw smells, the paper mill, dumped into the pigeon and the railroad ties. From tie to tie I whistled Potato Head Blues, even the clarinet part. It made me happy. It made me nostalgic for that present moment. I could have walked like that forever. I could have snagged the ball hoot freight to New Orleans and clung to the windy boxcar, singing, singing. I could have lugged my trombone and learned to learn. I learned anyway. There's something in the woman. More than in the horn to teach you the blues. You still need the tune. It fixes a pride on joy of travelling light. There's courage in it. Father Louis had told me already. What's whiskey without the jazz? Nothing but gut ache. Nothing to look back on. Whiskey alone doesn't fill you that honeysuckle sunlight in your vein. It ain't the gin that makes you shine. It is the man in the cyclone of flame who keeps on saying yes with a note that would light up the ice ages. He's the silver sunrise in the pit of the body, dawn wind jiving the trees. Thoreau was right. Morning is moral reform. Give me a shot and please play West End Blues. I need to hear the wistful whippoorwill, to hear the railroad ties hauling the lovers as they walk down the line with 19 bottles of whiskey in each hand, going to meet the woman and hear the man. I've had the lights in the feathery grasses, wind poling woozy clouds across the moon, and the glare lights slicing out of the honky-tonk, oblong light with a frizzly shape of woman, troubling its centre, one hand on her slouch hip, trumpet flutter in the jukebox behind her, like a pinwheel of copper fire. She watched the moon. She too knew that something pulled between them. The moon and the trumpet revolved on a common centre of gravity, which was where, who, when, how, which was somewhere, and something mystical, but surely palpable. A hungry force obtaining us between two sharp-eyed lovers. Fire's in the blood, my father told me. Wind whips it forward, seizing every atom in the veins till blood fire takes the body whole, jerks the form of a man along on that wind-river blood fire, helplessly. A new creature in the planet of green night, half-funky animal, half-pure music, meat and spirit drunk together under the cotton moon. And not one man alone, ever, but everyone in reach of the trumpet, an armada of fireships destroying themselves to essence pure as the wind in the fever nighttime. Papa Louis Armstrong has refashioned us for our savage, reverend assault upon the stars.
How nice to hear Fred Chappell read by that man, whoever it was. Nicely done, synchronicity, and in that vein, let's jump into a live set with Fred Chappell here a couple years ago in Asheville at the Black Mountain College Art Museum.
Signed, not yet, but it
here
signed.
I am. Boo. Framed. I'm still introducing this guy, and in a few minutes,
here's how the night will go.
He'll start.
Glennis
reading.
And Keith are going to read each for about 15 minutes. I'll introduce them both. We'll take a break, have
it's
a chance to enjoy
Fred.
The refreshments, buy some books, look at the artwork. Then I'll come back and introduce Fred, and he can read as long as he likes, about 30 minutes. And there'll be time at the end for authors to sign books.
Chet's Jazz by Richard Ellman. The jamming together of fragments puffed through a failing wind reiterates such sounds as can extenuate the hurt lips on the caved-in face. If you could see me now, sings the ghost of pretty boy Chet, faintly flirtatious, and when he blows again, he goes up and down on tiptoes as if reaching for distortions that are the ghosts of melodies he started 20 years ago with Jerry Mulligan. Strange feedback now to spook his old sidekick with these noises which announce they were never there in the first place, and then to declare, that's one we call Broken Wing. The titles tell one story of a talent broken, strung out, in jail more times than his notes left in his mouthpiece. But the tunes aren't grim. Behind Chet's clerical specs, a death's head blows frivolous trills on a brass horn. Blue notes so oblique, his group can only vamp and vamp and vamp again, a rhythm like applause. Chet's got it tonight. He's on. Even his sweetest clinkers encourage us to believe in inspired errors. ¶¶
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, sir, we've decided. No, sir, we won't hide it. Yes, sir, you're invited now. By the way, when we reach the preacher, I'll say, with feeling, yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Hey, yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, sir, we've decided. No, sir, we won't hide it. Yes, sir, you're in. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
To go down to the lonesome valley, and you got to go down by yourself. You got to go down to the lonesome valley, and you got to go down by yourself.
Once, we built 100,000 bomb shelters in America, trying to make sense of the atom's terrible contagions. We never used a one. Oscar Wilde said he knew perfectly well why America was so violent. It's because our wallpaper was so damn ugly. What is history but a fable agreed upon? The past is smoke, deep-shadowed plazas teeming with hungry ghosts. The Puritans, with their coiled dilemmas, could not know that the evil was already here when they landed, waiting for their boats. 40 black churches have burned in the South in just 4 years. 30 years after Dr. King was gunned down, his son shakes hands with the killer and forgives. The root of war is fear. Two out of three inner-city black men in America are in prison or on parole. 40% of the water in North America is unfit for swimming, fishing, or drinking. I saw a pink flamingo plunge like a withered violin into the sea. Olive trees quivered in their arboretums. Waco, Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma. What you do in the Karma Kitchen is your own business. This poem is more harmless than dioxin and will spend less time in your heart. In the mission room, 20 stories above the high country of the swans, my mother paces, clutches her face, and asks why I leave out all the happy parts. It is not enough to dream the notes. You have to go inside your body. But we are a bulky people, hard to move. It takes a death to move a family, or a building in flames being rammed by a tank, or two towers being crashed by a plane spooling on the lurid evening news. Completely Christian karate. The local minister, full of brimstone, preaches separation, shaving the pitch in the scope of his sermon. Having caught a terminal case of the millennium bug, using the tom-tom, time-tested, completely Christian tactics, hoping to karate chop the teenagers towards salvation. Any man may call spirits from the dark, but what will he say when they come, and what will he do when they stop? Tradition is the illusion of permanence. It is Christmas and snowing. Rudolph, the red-nosed survivalist, continues to elude the FBI. The Hoop Dance. The circle of life beneath a
me and my homies low. You know we kick it like every day, every day.
You're listening to Wordplay. I'm sorry I cut off that last little bit of Keith Flint's poem. You'll never forgive me. This is Sebastian. And leaving you with some Nate Dogg. Thank you, Raven. And I'll hand you over to AJ.
Nobody come before my niggas. Fuck all y'all bitches. All my homeboys are self-sufficient, so we suspicious. So you scandalous chicks got the police. know, last July, Apple had to cut an exclusive deal with AT&T to launch the iPhone. Did you know last August, AT&T censored criticism of President Bush during a live Pearl Jam webcast? Did you know that last September, Verizon blocked text messages about women's reproductive rights from Pro-Choice America? And that last October, Comcast was caught secretly disabling a web application used by cable subscribers for sharing videos? This is not internet freedom. One way to restore internet freedom, though, is to build our own infrastructure that is beyond the control of the cable and phone companies. That's why Maine is building a wireless network for Western North Carolina and making Asheville a Wi-Fi city. Maine needs your help, though. Please visit maine.nc.us and click on Donate. Help Maine continue its record of media reform achievements.
And now it's time for Sirens Muse on WPVM LP Asheville, a broadcast service of the Mountain Area Information Network.